They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open. I love it.
I love it. My elderly neighbour entered my yard this morning at 6:30 to talk to me about the buses.
Oh, yeah? But what about your neighbour? I couldn't get it out. I didn't know.
My elderly neighbour is what I call my thumb.
It's my elderly neighbour.
And my yard is my anus.
It's my elderly neighbour. He's come for a visit.
I got a visit from my
Looking
elderly neighbour.
To borrow
neighbor.
Some brown sugar.
Ooh, I know where you can find some
Just
brown sugar.
Just talking to your thumb the whole time.
Do you need some sugar, buddy?
Oh, I keep it all in the yard.
Don't spill any. It'll attract ants. Oh, that's destroyed me. That's it. That's the episode for this week.
You got what you came for.
There's nothing more. That's what you wanted, isn't
you
it?
Dirty
you filthy
dogs.
Bastards.
Grow up.
Hey, this is Shitting with the Door Open with Harley Breen and Wade Duffin, coming to you via Riverside, an app that we record on remotely because I am now safely in my new home in southeast Queensland, and Wade Duffin is still down there in Brunswick.
Man, what a Melbourne. Journey you had as well. I followed the whole thing on Insta, and of course I was texting you, calling you through the whole trip, but fuck, what a journey. An adventure. Just like adventure.
You know what, like, it was, and leading up to it, there was no hiding. I was just fully honest about the anxieties around the trip of both whether the car would make it and whether my body would make it. And the anxieties quickly dissipated into excitement. Like, I had car issues and I had body issues, but I just, oh man, I thoroughly enjoyed every second.
Excellent.
It was a lot of fun, and the car held up really well, but I had a basic plan of which way I was going, but I didn't know where I could make it to each day, and I definitely made it not as far as I had hoped on the first 2 days, and I pushed myself on the third day to make it to the farm. So I wasn't researching where to camp until about 2 hours before I got to the first campsite. Yeah,
of course.
I just didn't know if I was going to make it there. And then the second one, I had done a bit of research on the town I thought I was going to make it to, and then it quickly was evident. I just couldn't – my arms couldn't hold themselves up anymore just from wrestling the car. And so I had to stop in a town I hadn't planned on, and a quick Google search didn't offer up any free camping grounds. And so I just went into information, which was just about to close. And they were like, yeah, it's just camp at the golf course. And I was like, that sounds wrong, but I'm going to do that. And so just went there. And so that was just a bit exciting, but also it was achievable because of no children. You can't do a trip like that with children.
No. You've got to be able to play it real fast and loose on a trip like that. You know what I mean? You can't be running to like a tight schedule.
Yes.
It's got to be like a very loose schedule, something like that's very, very flexible, which makes, and it's a lot harder. The more people or children or whoever it is you add into like a little situation like that, the more little fucking twists and turns like the journey it's going to take, the more the exact opposite of that, how tighter that journey takes, like the less flexible you get.
Correct. And like even if things had gone super wrong for me and I, I'd pushed myself and it looked like I'm just going to have to pull over here. I didn't want to have to do this, but I could have just pulled into a roadside truck rest stop and just rolled my swag out. Now, there's multiple reasons I could do that. One, I had the foresight to, after a couple of hours of the journey, of buying a jerry can so I had fuel if I got into trouble or if I was a distance from fuel. And two, I'm 6 foot four, straight white male. So, like, it's not that I can't be in danger, but both nights when I rolled out the swag and got in it, I honestly thought about my privilege of being able to just go, yeah, I'm just sleeping on my own in the middle of nowhere. Both campsites had quite a lot of caravans and RVs that were in the free camping area.
Yeah. I mean, I would take sometimes I go for like a walk at night, and like Claire the other day said to me, oh, it must feel nice to be able to walk down at the creek at night. And I was like, yeah, actually, it does. I don't really think about it. Yeah. I just get out there and walk. But of course, Claire and lots of other women, most women, I guess, like have to really think like hard about which route they're going to take.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, well, like what is, it's just like an extra added stress, you know, that's an extra added thing to their life. I remember like
when we were,
I was like at 21, 22, and my ex and I were traveling around Portugal. And we would we're driving around and staying at campsites, and it was kind of the off season, and the wine there was like super cheap, like €1 or €2 a bottle. And so I was like, "This is living." And so I'm just smashing bread and olives.
That's a recipe for success.
And just drinking this wine, and ah, it's the best. And I would just get so trashed, and then like fall asleep, and wake up the next day going, "Wow, what a great day!" And it turns out, like, and Kelly told me, like, years later, that she was going to sleep with a giant stick under the pillow because she was like, I was terrified. We're in the middle of like nowhere in the country.
And
I was
like, what are you talking about?
It was the best. I was just oblivious, just completely oblivious to this entire subplot of the journey that we had taken.
Yeah, oh man. I don't know if I've told you this before. I was involved in some kind of event.
The Great Nellie Thomas.
Got me involved in... The Great Nellie Thomas, some sort of women's walk or solidarity with women, and this exact issue we're talking about, right? And there was a videographer there that was filming us. She goes, I just want to ask you a question after you've – I was just doing stand-up. And I said, yeah, sure, what's the question? She goes, no, we'll just film you and we'll ask the question. Okay, all right. And she said I walked off stage and she had the video camera there and she goes, right, what is something that you do on a day-to-day basis to protect yourself against sexual assault? And I went, what?
Yeah.
And she went, great. And that was it. Now, every guy that they interviewed had basically the exact same response. We all went, hey, what? What are you talking about? And every woman who was asked the question reeled off this list of things that they do. And I was like, oh, wow, that is a stark comparison, isn't it?
Yeah. When you really think about it, that stuff is really eye-opening, you know?
Yeah. And so, like, you know, the first campsite, I was right in the bush and there was heaps of movement as the sunset and the night descended. And Peanut was very tuned into it.
Oh, loving it, I imagine.
She was sort of... Well, I had to have her tied up because she would just, you know, run off into the night and I wouldn't find her. And then it just got so cold where I had just no other options but to go to bed. So I, you know, got into the swag, got her in there with me, partly for my own warmth and partly so that she wasn't sort of howling at the moon. And both nights, as we're falling asleep, she's at the end of the swag just going, and whatever it was, moving around. Now, again, that could make you feel quite fearful, but I was like, sweet, got my dog here. I have no idea what she's going to do. But, you know.
Peanut would just run
went,
up and just like lick
to the
them.
Growling dog.
Lick this intruder. So it's such a friendly dog. Exactly. Man, and then you finally made it to the farm and then to Queensland, or up to the house. What a journey. What a trip.
Yeah, so I made it to the farm, which was an excellent day, and it meant I didn't have to worry about camping, and you know, I could see my brother and my sister-in-law, nieces, nephews, see the new butchery is all up and running, had a night rest in a bed and a shower and all of that, and then the next day wasn't a very big journey at all, and arrived home pretty much incident free. So great journey, good choices. Got to build a dog run now because Peanut's still on the farm because the house that we're in doesn't have a fence secure enough to keep her in.
It's a great story in that, like, nothing bad happened, but so many good things happened. And they're not big good things, just little good things, like the camping and, like, the looseness of the schedule. And just, like, I feel freedom at that time. Totally. What I mean. Very exciting.
Oh, mate, it was – I've done the journey once before on my own or up and back on my own and enjoyed it then. But I was sort of pulling in the motor ends and – the only reason I wasn't going to motor inns this time was because of Peanut, because there's very few motor inns that would allow a dog. And I'm like, it's just going to be easier for me to camp. And now that I've done it, I am planning the next trip. Like, I'm like, that was so simple. I can just take off for a weekend with my dog, camp in free camp spots, drive it to another place, have a look at it, turn around and come back.
Yeah. And what a breath of fresh air for your head, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Man, so exciting. What have we been up to while you've been on this journey? Not much. Just life as general. I was on the couch the other day and it was just me and the oldest one home. And she just comes into the lounge room and I'm just doing some work. And she just says to me, "Don't worry, Dad, everything's okay." And I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "You don't need to come down and check on anything." I'm like, "What?" And then she just like walked off. It was so good. Mm. I loved it. And then I thought, I better go check. And now, because they're a bit older, I realized, no, something's happened there. She wants to keep it private. She deserves her privacy.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's in the process of like fixing whatever mistake it is. And she just wanted to tell me in her own way that it's all right. You don't need to come down and check this mistake. I think her mistake was coming to tell me in the first place. But it was just kind of thinking like how of a level up. Like, you know, we always talked about it. We always talk about it like how you get to a certain level in parenting and you've just gone back to ground zero. You're just about to go back to level zero. How you just keep getting up and you move up and you move up and you kind of lose that old stuff. And now I think we're at the point in this house of really having to we never really like always check on them and like, oh, what are you doing wrong? But if, you know, a few years ago, she'd come to me and said, "Hey, look, don't worry about it. There's nothing bad happening down there." I would have been straight off the couch. But now it's like, fucking Jesus, what? I can smell smoke. But now it's just getting in there and just letting them find their own way. It's really great.
Absolutely. I think it's the lesson that I've had to continually teach myself, especially with my eldest. And unfortunately for him, he's helped me learn for the next one and then the next one, is that is to back off, you know, just back off. Sometimes just back the hell away because they don't need you, or more importantly, they don't want you. Be there for if they go, actually, I do need you, but don't be overbearing and be like, oh, I can do that. I can fix that. It's created huge tension with Leonard and I because I was just like, "Liz, you're doing it wrong." But actually doing it wrong or making the mistake is the thing 100%. That progresses them further.
100%. They've got to be allowed to fail. Like, we all should give ourselves permission to fail because there's nothing wrong with it. It's just you've got it wrong, you try again. Like, it's nothing that's – and I have to always remind myself, like, it's all right to fucking just fuck it up. And so when I'm watching the kids and they're just like really just like not getting something correct, and I'm just like, it's fine, whatever, you'll learn, you'll get it. But it is frustrating. Like, you do get those fucking twitchy fingers. Doesn't just matter. Like, oh, I could just do that for you right now.
Well, I had this really incredible moment sort of on this subject of just letting what's happening with your child happen. And I think we'll get onto this in a second, but it's in part because I'm not drinking. Walter was just having a really hard time going to bed. It was his tiredness had gone past the point and he should have been asleep already, even though it wasn't quite his bedtime yet. But he just, we are sort of in the process of unpacking, very much in the process of unpacking. There's just boxes and shit everywhere. And there's recently been big bags of books that he can see now. and he was going through the books to try and find which book he wanted, and he couldn't find a book that he wanted, and wanted me to find other books, and there just wasn't other books to find. And then he just got into this absolute state of hysteria, and he just repeated for, I reckon, about 5 minutes, "I want a book." And he just said that, "I want a book, I want a book," through screaming and crying and all of that. And I tried a few different tacks of letting him talk it through, which was just him repeating that, of me trying to give him suggestions. And then I was like, oh, no, the problem here is the kid just needs to go to sleep. Now, I can't get cranky at him, and that's why I bring up the fact that because I'm not drinking, I was just really present of mind. And so through this quite intense frustration and sadness for him, I just kept massaging his head. And at the start, he was trying to push my hand away, and then he was like, actually, that's pretty good, and he kept going and kept going. I just massaged his head, and he just kept going, "I want a book, I want a book, I want a book." And
so oh, man. It's weird when they get into that cycle. It's weird when they get into this kind of like, because they don't know how to get out of it. Like sometimes the kids will not be able to choose between two things. Like you'll give them a choice. Like, do you want to go with Claire or do you want to stay home with me? That's the choice. And they just cannot choose. They just cannot choose. So the other day, like when their grandparents were here, it's like you can go stay at their house for where they were staying, like for a sleepover, or you can stay here with us. One kid, straight away, I'll go stay with them. And the younger one just could not make up her mind until what we've figured out is she's got to have a back out. She's got to have a second option that she will never use, but just so she knows in the back of her head. So we said, you go up there. If you need to come home, I'll come get
options.
You. It's no problem. And she's like, oh, okay, easy. Problem solved. And just problem having solved. That little fucking backup, that little kind of safety net in her head, in their little heads, I guess in all our heads, just makes such a smooth difference.
Well, I was going to say, I'm the same.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm also like kind of, I haven't quit drinking, but I have pulled right back. Went out the other night, had one glass of wine. You know what I mean? Just one glass of wine. That was it.
Right.
And then I probably won't have another drink for like a couple of weeks or something. Just because I'm really, and I can feel it, I can see it in your mood, and I'm feeling for the first time in a long time, I'm feeling, even though my life is in a fucking such a state of flux, we're going to move like our house for this reno. Dusty's time is nearly up. I'm in the middle of like recording this thing that I've got to get done. There's now a podcast. It's just all this stuff is just fucking swirling. But because I've kind of like laid off the booze and just walking like every day, just going for a walk to kind of clear my head, I am in such a better mood. Like such a better mood. Like I just feel I'm not right on the edge. Whereas for a long time, for a few months there, like like looking back, it's pretty funny. But, you know, not funny for my family.
We'll get back there. We'll go back there again.
It swings and roundabouts. But I was right on the edge. Like every time somebody would say something, I'd be like, I'd be like, what? Like I'd just be so close to snapping. Whereas now I just feel so much more present. And another thing that's really helped, sorry, I'm just fucking rambling a bit, is that I took Instagram and Facebook off my phone.
No, go for it.
I just took them off my phone. They were just destroying me. Big and help. It's so weird to be, because they talk about like how damaging social media is for like teenagers, especially like people like they're obsessed about like other people's lives and body image issues and what have you. But I was the same. I was exactly the same.
Yeah. Of course, same.
I was like following like people doing trips in Europe, or they're following doing this, or they're doing that, and I'd be like, "Oh, why aren't I doing this? Or doing why aren't I over there?" And I was just letting it fucking play in my head and play in my head and play in my head. So I just deleted them off my phone. Don't worry, they're still on the laptop, so I can still interact, and we can still look at those 25 words or less penis competitions. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten.
Hey, we've had some great submissions. I'm shocked, to be honest with you, that we've actually had quite a few. And look, I think what we might do too at some stage is read them out and maybe even put it out to the people, to the rat fucks, and see which one that they think. We could do a People's Choice Award.
All right, sweet. So we will vote on our favourite and we'll do a People's Choice Award. This is the greatest thing. We'll extend it for another week. One more week because I've been enjoying these submissions very much. But don't hold back. Please, please get on board. This is going to change podcasting forever.
We want your creativity. We want your specific angle. And really look at this as the penis and vulva version of the Archibalds. Like that's
oh, the Archibalds.
It's the audio Archibalds.
And really do your research.
Yes.
Really get out there and have a good look at some penises and some vulvas. Really look it right in the eye.
Look at your own. Make it personal. Make it about yourself.
Look at your own. Look at your own. Look at someone else's. All right? Consensually, please.
Please.
But stare it right in the eye. Look at right in there. Put on some glasses. Some safety goggles. You don't want any accidents.
We do not have the public liability to cover us if you get an eye injury from writing these 25 words or less, 30 words or less for the vulva. You got to do more work.
Come on. A little bit more work for the same prize. That's only fair. So we're extending it one more week. Next week we'll read out the answers, like, and then we're going to put up this. I think next week will just be an award ceremony. I can't wait. So if you get them in by, what's the date today?
Who knows? Fuck, and who gives a shit? Oh, this is going out today, right?
This is going out tomorrow. This is going out on Tuesday the 15th. If you guys get the awards, if you get your submissions in by Thursday the 17th, 9 a.m.
Thursday the 17th, 9 a.m. All submissions
so
will close.
In a few days. All submissions will close and then we'll get into it. Oh, mate. It's exciting times.
You can put it in the Patreon.
If I was
message,
listening to this, I'd be excited.
If you are a Patreon member, you can put it in there. You can DM on either of our socials. We will compile a short list, no pun intended, and we will read those out. Then we'll put it out to the people's choice, and we'll let you know the winner. The golden knob. Oh.
This year's golden knob. It's an annual tradition from now on. Next year's golden knob as well. The golden knob awards. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Oh, fuck, that's so funny. Speaking of Patreon, we had a couple of people in the daycare page, the Facebook page, asking for your lamb shoulder recipe.
Oh, let me write it down. I think it's already written down because I didn't do that on Adam Lior's show. I will write it down. It's one of the reason I'm hesitating here is I've never ever had to do it before, and I was reflecting on our second cook up Patreon episode, and how good you are at listing how you cook and how vague I am, because I am so much a cook by muscle memory.
Instinct.
And when I did three episodes of Adam Lior's show, and part of the job was I had to write down the recipe. And honestly, mate, it was tantamount to a toddler's tantrum. I just couldn't do it. In the end, Hannah had to sit at the computer while I talked her through what I do, and then she could put it into a document for me. I really struggled. Anyway, I'm going to try and put the lamb recipe together because it's a super simple one, and some bits might be slightly vague. It's just not my forte, is what I'm saying, is writing and remembering how I do things.
You're an intuitive cook.
Yes.
You're an intuitive man. But I also think that's just part of the fun of cooking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean? That's why I love it. And the other side is why I hate it. The following rules and making sure the methods are exact and all of that.
Yeah.
It can be, that can be fun too.
Nobody asked for my recipes. Nobody asked for old Wade. I put out the little post in the Patreon page. I was like, hey, does anybody want any recipes? Anything that we talked about in the podcast? Yeah, everybody. Harley's lamb. Cunt. Fuck off. You dog shit. Well, all right. All right. It's fine.
Well, maybe it's because...
Let me just take a little visit from my elderly neighbour to cheer me up. Got to go visit the front yard and the backyard. The elderly neighbor.
The elderly neighbor. Forever. The thumb will be called the elderly neighbor.
This is my elderly neighbor.
But maybe it's because you're really very good in describing what you make. You're very descriptive. I'm a bit intimidated by it. Also, I'm just going to say this, and Wade, I don't care what you say on the other side of it. Wade's a better cook than me, and quite the inspiration to me. We're pretty similar styled cooks, but I'd say you're a little bit fancier, and you have a better eye for detail.
Maybe. I'm not sure I would agree. Like, I've fucking come to your house for some amazing food.
Sure.
So I think we're
pretty similar.
I think we're pretty similar, I reckon. Pretty similar. What else were we going to talk about today? Oh, that's right. I wanted to talk about, because I saw this article recently, the top five regrets of people when they're dying.
Oh, yes.
Because it's just so interesting. I've just ticked one off.
Solo trip with my dog. You know, literally, like, you know, I think for some people, I don't like the idea. We're not sort of going into the idea of bucket lists, though, are we?
No, this isn't. This is more like it's not like I didn't have I didn't go bungee jumping in Norway.
Right.
It's not like that kind of like it's. They're kind of like a bigger, bit more esoterical thing.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
If that's the way to use the word esoterical, if it's not, fuck off. I don't care.
Call in now and we'll tell you we don't give a shit. It's not a fucking English podcast, is it? Welcome to Grammarcon.
We're at the competition for the Golden Knob. It's the Golden Knob Awards. 25 words or less. It must be grammatically correct. They don't have to be at all.
It's the Golden Knob or the Golden Leaf. And by the way, you don't have to be an owner of each or either to get Golden Leaf or Golden Knob. You can win it just by your submissions.
That's exactly right.
And I would just say we're a little bit light on the vulva front. You don't have to write 30. It's
no.
Just 30 words or less.
You get 30. You get 30 you words. Get- So, and any,
That's
we're
right.
doing you a favor. If anything,
you should thank
us. All right. Top five regrets. And now, as we go through, I'd just love to hear like your thoughts and my thoughts. I'd love to hear those as well.
Yeah.
On
I bet
each
you
one.
Hear them all the time, don't you, mate?
Yeah, fucking they don't stop.
Inside that head of yours.
I wish I didn't hear this so much. All right, number five. I wish that I'd let myself be happier. That's such a beautiful one. Because I imagine people at the end of their life that look back and be like, I wish I'd be able to, I don't know, follow their passions more maybe, follow like a...
Yeah.
Or as we just talked about before, like I would just get so stressed. And I'll be so angry. And now I'm in such a good place.
Mm.
I wish I was in this place more often. And how much is that bad place my own making? Well, all of it, probably. You know, like.
Yes.
And so how do I get myself out of that bad place sooner? You know?
My takeaway from that too is first of all, it made me think of sometimes the... toxic idea that you need to be happy all the time. That is sold to us through a way of us consuming more. Come on, buy your happiness. So I just like reference that you don't and can't be happy all the time. And then on the other hand, I totally agree. I wish I'd allowed myself to be happy, as in get out of your own way. I've had these moments like what I'm feeling right now. There's so many positive endorphins rolling around in me because I've completed this huge big task that I've had, which is moving the family and my stuff and my dog and my car and myself, and to just enjoy it now and just don't get in my way with anxieties and stresses. And there are some big ones. There's the constant stress of how to continue to pay for everything that needs to be paid for, which means I need to earn. There's a massive one that my eldest child is disconnected from us geographically. We've been keeping in constant contact. Both of us and Leonard and I are struggling, as are the kids and Hannah, with Leonard not being here. And it's a hardship and it's a stress, but it doesn't need to get in the way of joy and happiness.
Yeah.
You can still exactly. have those things exist at the same time.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, that idea of like him being happy all the time is just, it's nonsense. It's just nonsense.
Yes.
But I think what I take away from allowing myself to be happy isn't like you have to be happy all the time. It's just that when you're in like a bad place that you allow yourself to get out of it a bit easier.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't like take all that weight on. You look for those like tools and little things that can help you get out of it. And one of them for me is definitely pulling back on alcohol and exercising a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just, and it's such a, because I love drinking. I love it. It's so much fun. But the after effects are nowhere near as much fun as the drinking is, unfortunately.
But you know what? It's actually a poignant point, right? We just talked about how you can't have happiness all the time. You can't have enjoyment drinking all the time. You just can't do it.
No. And so you do it like a little bit here and there, and it is much more, you know, it is much better time. All right, on to the next one. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. I would say with this one, we're pretty good. Well, I am.
I absolutely. Yeah.
I think
I've talked about it in the past that I haven't been great with some friends, and that's impacted some friendships.
Yeah.
And then even the friendships that I have now that are very strong and maintained, I can struggle with keeping in touch. But I'm super happy with my mates and my friendships, and I'm committed to doing better at staying in touch. So I totally agree with that point, but I don't feel like I'm going to die with regrets on that front.
No, I don't think I will either, especially if we keep going the way we're going, and I keep going the way I'm going, where you don't want to get to the point where your life is all about your family. And, you know, they should be a big part of it. But then at some stage, the kids go. They're off. They're doing their own thing. And then where are all those friends that they've kind of like, they're gone? You know, you still want to have like that social life, because I think there's some really solid data about when you're like getting a bit older and you don't have a social life, just how quickly the mind deteriorates. You know, just how quickly you just kind of go down that hill. But no, I think I don't think I'll have that one at the end of my life. I think I'm pretty good at that, and that's something that actually I'm kind of proud of, to be honest.
And by the way, I've been looking at caravans to park down the side of the house for Wade to sleep in when he comes for visits.
Little waiter vans.
Yeah. Little waiter van.
I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. That's number three. Once again, I think I'm pretty good at that.
I'm fine with that.
I probably wasn't as good
with it. If anything, I need to pull back on that.
I'm maybe a bit too good at it, to be honest.
In fact, we've got a whole podcast where we really don't hide anything.
Maybe.
People we don't even know listen to our emotions.
We excel a little too much there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
Right, maybe we'll be on our deathbed and go, I regret telling perfect strangers about my mental health on a weekly basis.
I regret expressing my feelings too much. I regret telling them about my elderly neighbour. I regret telling them about Uberful Dicks. I regret the Golden Knob Awards.
There'll be some regrets, no doubt.
I regret that slaps. Just the whole lot.
Don't you ever regret that.
No, that slaps was so funny. Claire just fucking, she told me she lost it at it. So good.
Good.
Number two, I wish I hadn't worked so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I was across this, we've talked about it before, and I was across this quite some many years ago, and I am determined to make sure that my life is spent engaged with friends and family and not working. I will work as much as I need to work to support everybody financially, but it actually takes less, I think, than what I even thought it did in the past. And fuck work. It's all about connecting and being present with the people that matter.
Yeah. Well, I've been in the very fortunate position of the last like 9 years to kind of be like a stay-at-home dad mostly. And so I
Which, by the way, means you've worked your ass off.
Which I have been working 100%. I've worked with my family. but I've actually had to got time to be there with my family and not be at an outside place doing it. So I don't think I will have that regret, especially now, because I'm trying to get into a field that I really want to get into.
Yeah. I had a show about, 6 or 7 years ago that ended with just before my last sort of story slash joke, I ended with how many more elderly people dying saying, I wish I didn't work so much, do we have to hear before we get the fucking point?
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
You know, like it's not a new thing. It is, you know, generation after generation after generation of people on their deathbeds is like, I really didn't need to work that hard. I really didn't need to do that amount of hours for somebody else, for somebody else's wealth or whatever it is that you've done. No one's ever on their deathbed going, fuck, glad I worked my ass off.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, unfortunately, for some people, they do have to work those hours. And that must be like a fucking...
because it's an unjust and unfair system. Yeah.
I could not agree more. And the last one, the number one one was, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And I think that's pretty common. There's definitely some parts of my life where I feel like I'm being true to myself, but there's other huge parts of my life where I'm doing the thing that I feel is expected of me.
Mate. Absolutely. And I think that one for me personally is it's a constant roller coaster.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm getting it wrong and everything's feeling shit and I'm not being genuine and authentic to myself. And then other times this is it. This is what I want to do. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, that'll be an ebbs and flows. But it's also a really great goal to try to achieve.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that one ties in a lot to like a few of these other ones here. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. You know, in fact, with all of them. And I like, because I think we've talked about this before, but I'm so fascinated by this idea of self. Like the way that you know is not the way that the girls know. It's not the way that my parents know. It's not the way that like acquaintances know. It's not the way that old work colleagues know. It's not the way that like somebody from 20 years ago knows. You know what I mean? So there's so many different versions of yourself out there. And the version of myself
knew Wade 20 years ago and you're exactly the same.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, look, you've developed and matured and you've ripened, but you're still Wade. It's the best. It's fucking awesome.
The version that you know and the version that Claire knows and like some of my other close friends like Ollie and Dean.
Totally.
That's the version of myself that I like the best. Like that's the version that I would like to be all the time. Like kind of just a bit more confident, a bit looser, a bit being able to express myself and not second guess everything that I say. But if I am outside like this immediate circle, like this immediate tight-knit circle, then I will constantly second guess everything that I've said. I will constantly look back and micro-examine every kind of aspect of like a conversation or every aspect of an interaction that I've had with somebody. Like even if I'm going to the shop and I have to like talk to the shopkeep and I'm like, I've just got to get a bottle of milk. I will rehearse in my head what I'm going to say before I get in there. I'll just repeat it as a mantra before I go into the shop. Just a bottle of milk, thanks.
Yeah.
Just a bottle of milk, thanks. Just a bottle of milk, thanks. And then I'll get there. I'm like, milk, just a bottle. Fuck.
Cows have udders.
Just walk in there.
Cows have udders. I'll suck on the udder.
Udder juice. Yeah, you got any tit juice from a cow?
I like titties. Put your titty in a bottle.
It's relentless. It just fucking damages my head. Like
that's so funny.
Caught up with like some people the other day, like, you know, friendly acquaintances, and had it, we chat to them and blah, blah, blah. And then they walked off and one of them looked back at me and then she walked away again. And I thought, why does she look back? Oh, she must hate me. And then I like examined every part of that conversation and I said it to Claire and she's like, what? And I'm like, oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. Because I realized how fucking crazy I was being. It was all in my own head. Like everything is always in my own head. And I wish the way that I am with like you and Ollie and Claire and Dean is when I have a conversation, I just go, oh yeah, that was fine. And if it wasn't fine, I don't worry about it. I just go like,
no,
yeah,
because
sweet.
You trust us.
Because I trust and there's like a real safe space. Yeah. And I feel that in all those other conversations is also a safe space. I just haven't let myself think that. You know?
Yeah, I want that for you because I see that that struggle for you in these sort of overanalyzing. And so you know, and you already know this, but I do that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, do I analyze stuff. Crazy. Exactly the same scenario as walking to the shop. I do that. However, it doesn't play as hard on my head as it seems to for you. I just go, well, fucking hell, I'm doing that. And then I'll eventually move on. Whereas I know for you, there are some social anxieties that can just really ruin your week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not true. Claire's very good at going, all right, this decision has to be made tomorrow. We'll just think about it tomorrow. And she just puts it into a little box. Whereas now I'm like, oh, no. No. That is going to fucking roll around and I've got to verbally express every thought that I have about it. Otherwise, I'm just going to go nuts. Anyway, so I think there's really something there where that idea of self I find so fascinating. And letting yourself be your true self will be such a freeing thing when I eventually get there. And I'm on the way, but not there yet.
You will get you there, mate.
We'll get
just a
we'll,
bit of suicide,
we'll get us
and we'll break that cycle.
Ah, too good. Now, don't forget the golden knob, please.
Don't you forget. Don't miss out. Don't you let it go past
the
and not have taken
of the
part
penis.
In what is the greatest.
The Archibalds.
The Archibalds. God, we're geniuses.
And just before we go, shout out to the Matildas. That game was epic.
Mate.
It was insane. So
do
insane.
You know, look, I don't watch a lot of anything. I consume a lot of even big events like that. Yeah. I read it. I don't even care how that sounds. It's just what I do.
Yep.
If there's big games on, I'll read it. And it was like even watching the play-by-play on the live updates on the ABC News app was like nail-biting shit. And then the subsequent articles come out. If you want to go and have a look into the numbers, what the Matildas have just done has broken basically every record for an event in Australia ever.
It's
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It's so good. Like, and just the way, and also poor France, man. Like, I feel for them because that is no way to lose a match. Penalty shootouts just aren't. And a penalty shootout that goes past the traditional five and onto like the next that just keeps going is just
full on.
It is full on. It's heartbreaking. They must have been gutted. But I don't think they've got anything to be ashamed of. They should be fucking holding their heads up high. But congratulations to the Matildas. They held their nerve. That goalkeeper just destroys. Kudos to them.
And next matchup,
England
is England, and that'll be at the end of this week of this podcast coming out. So get on board. Maybe we should live watch it together.
Oh yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
yeah. Let's do it.
Okay,
I'll be happy to.
All right.
Yeah.
What a great app.
Hey mate, bloody good to see you in this medium. Can't wait to see you in person. That'll happen real soon. And thanks for following along on my journey and providing me my mateship support that I needed along that trip. It was awesome.
Man, thank you for moving away so I could support you on that journey.
Way to go and see if my elderly neighbour is here. What? Here he is.